This was another example where I thought I was doing something completely new and different. I remember going to a conference and going for a run with Rich Schifrin, and he asked me what I was working on, and I told him about my model. And he said, "Oh, yeah, that's a lot like my model, like Sam."
Yeah. That's where it came up as you were running together.
No, I had done almost all of the work. Rob Nosofsky then published a paper on concept learning, which proposed a model very similar to my model as applied to concept learning. But those things weren't out there at the time that I was doing the work. I was completely on my own. Well, many of the characteristics of the Minerva II model derived from the fact that I was using an Apple II. And so I didn't want to do any floating point arithmetic because that took a lot of time. And so, single digits like plus ones and minus ones kept the processing time down because I would run simulations at home. I'd set the program running at night, and maybe the next morning around 9 or 10 o'clock, I would have the results, discover that I'd made a mistake and have to do it again.
Oh, no. Thank you.
To me, the whole point of modeling and the whole point of simulation was to show the sort of thing that this kind of mechanism can do. Demonstration that things might work this way, and I always figured that.
You stay with Minerva and you keep working with it for some years, and then you sort of shift again, which I guess is natural based on how you described, like you just get ready to move on to new projects when they occur. But you started to get a little bit more.
Well, so I've always figured the whole point of a theory is to show how it's wrong, because that's what you learn from. A prediction of the Minerva II model is if, for frequency judgments, if you test with something similar to the item that was actually stored, the frequency judgments will go up, but just keep going up, but at a slower rate. So basically, everything will be scaled down because the activation of the memory traces is lower. We found that the frequency judgments actually are not far below the frequency judgments for the old items themselves, but it is for the similar items. But one thing that happens is that the subjects don't get any better. After a couple presentations, subjects don't get any better at telling that the similar item is not old. So we were getting bimodal distributions of the frequency judgments. They would either say zero, or they would give a frequency judgment that tracked the actual frequency of the item pretty closely. And they were instructed to say zero if you didn't remember seeing it before. But the probability of saying zero goes up with two or three presentations of the similar item, and then it just levels off. So it's as though they aren't learning anything more about this item that's similar. They're not learning the discrimination anymore. But their frequency judgments keep going up. So I said, all right, so Minerva 2's wrong. And I thought that was a really telling test, the testing with similar items. And so that then led me to coming up with a different theory of how people judge frequencies. So I did experiments comparing frequency judgments with recognition memory and found that if you look at ROC curves, they don't look the same. And I realized, trying to understand the ROC curves for frequency judgments, I realized that if you present an item for a long time, you can't trick subjects into thinking it occurred twice. Or if you present it recently, you can't trick them into thinking it occurred twice. That is, there's something special about frequency information. And that led me to realize that it's the second presentation. There's something special about the second presentation of an item in a list when items are repeated. The second presentation is not encoded in the same way as the first presentation is, which had always been the assumption that you might say it's not just a multiple trace hypothesis, but a independent trace hypothesis. There's no connection between the memory for the first presentation and the memory for the second presentation. But then I thought, well, how can the second presentation be coded differently when it's exactly the same as the first presentation? And then that reminded me of these old experiments that we had done here on spacing judgments, where we decided that if an item is presented twice in a list and you ask the subject how far apart were they, we thought, testing the independent trace hypothesis, we thought that the judgments would be the same as if they were two different items and you ask them how far apart were the two different items. And that's not what we got. The two different items, the subjects were very poor at making the judgments, in fact, at chance. But if it was the same item presented twice, they could judge the spacing, or at least, you know, the judgments. And also, if they're related, like doctor and nurse, they can remember the spacing. And to explain that, came up with the idea that the second presentation reminds the subject of the first presentation, and then includes a sense of its recency. And that implicit recency judgment gets stored as part of the memory for the second presentation. Later on, you ask the subject what the spacing was, the subject remembers the implicit recency judgment that was encoded at the second presentation. And so I realized then, thinking back on that, that that's the key to understanding frequency judgments. The second presentation leaves a memory trace that is very different from the memory for the first presentation, because it includes the reminding experience. So that's kind of led me to the view that memory researchers may need to pay more attention to subjective experience, because all you have to do is sit and watch a list in which items are repeated. You realize that they're repeated when the list is being presented. You remember remembering.
Yeah.
And then on the test, you remember that you remember. You remember remembering, remembering, remembering. And so you get a recursive representation of repetitions.